My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a few years ago, when Ralph Klein was the premier of our province, Calgary Herald had this headline news. It says, Klein access 8% deficit surtax. Klein says, it's exciting to the Albertans. Money goes a lot farther in your pocket than it does in the government's pocket. But the liberal critics by that time said that the tax cuts would not benefit most Albertans. And so the liberals were trying to entrap the Alberta government on this sensitive tax money issue. My dear brothers and sisters, if the use of tax money is sensitive today, it was even more sensitive in the time of Jesus. At least our tax money is administered by people who are elected democratically. And if we do not like the way our tax money is used, we can vote for our leaders out of office and replace them with people who might do a better job. The Jewish people did not have that luxury. Taxes are determined by the Romans. The currencies used were coins with inscription of Tiberius Caesar. And that was an insult to the Jewish people. We Canadians may disagree with the way our tax dollars are used, but at least the pictures on our bills is an authentic reflection of the history of our nation. This was not so with the Jewish people, and therefore a flashpoint bone of contention. Why did the Pharisees and Herodians ask Jesus the question in today's gospel, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Jesus hints at the answer when he says to them, you hypocrites, why are you putting me to the test? Herodians are members of Herod's party. They were a staunch supporter of Rome's right to tax the Jewish people. Pharisees, on the other hand, opposed the tax, but paid it anyway to avoid political confrontation with Rome. No matter how Jesus answered the question, he would end up alienating one of the groups. And so the Herodians and the Pharisees thought. As it turned out, the silver coin bearing Caesar's image gave Jesus an ideal way to answer their question. When Jesus asked them if they had a silver denarius on their person, he tricked them into answering their own question. For to possess a Roman coin was to admit a Roman obligation. When they produced the coin, Jesus said, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Commenting on Jesus' response, the Jerome Biblical Commentary has this to say, I quote, "Jesus' answer evades the question. He does not appeal right, but simply to the de facto existence of Caesar's power symbolized by his coinage. This explanation gives Caesar what is his and God what is his, offers no basis for a theory of politics. Jesus certainly did not intend to divide the world into areas belonging to Caesar and God, each with his respective and exclusive jurisdiction. Nor did Jesus answer the question what belongs to Caesar and that what belongs to God. This he left to the personal decision of each man, who must solve the problem of the opposing claims of God and Caesar." Close quote. My dear brothers and sisters, we Christians have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of these two worlds, citizens of this world and citizens of heaven. As such, we have obligation toward each which we must respect and honor. Thus, St. Peter tells Christian in his first letter, he says, I quote, "Have reverence for God and respect the emperor." St. Paul tells the Christians in Romans 2, I quote, "Obey civil authorities. Pay them what you owe them. Pay them your personal and property taxes and show respect to them." It is hoped that our dual citizenship and the obligation we have to each other will never clash. But if they do, the Christians must resolve the conflict. My dear brothers and sisters, Christians had to do this since the time of Jesus. Christians did it during the Roman persecutions of the church. They did it during the Middle Ages. They did it in the 16th and 17th centuries when tens of thousands of Christians fled to America to practice the religion without state intervention. Perhaps we can illustrate this with one case, that of St. Thomas More, the English martyr. Thomas More's conflict regarding what is Caesar's and what is God's is dramatized in the movie A Man for All Seasons. Recall this story. King Henry VIII of England is validly married. He appeals to Rome to annul the marriage. But there is no honest basis for annulment. And so Rome refuses. Henry takes matters into his own hands and remarries. He then orders his friends and officials to sign a document declaring that they agree he acted rightly in the matter. And many of Moore's friends sign, but Moore refuses. Henry demands that he sign or face arrest, trial for treason, and execution by the state. Still, Thomas More refuses. He had two obligations, one to God, one to his country. When they conflicted, More had no choice but to remain faithful to his obligation to God. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, today's gospel reminds us of our dual citizenship. We are citizens of this world and citizens of heaven. We have allegiance and an obligation to each. We hope the obligation will never clash. But if they ever do, we must resolve them as Thomas More did, without compromise to our God and to our conscience. Still the question, do we have to pay the taxes to the government or not? The answer will be, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. In fact, we all know that everything belongs to God. Our lives and all we have are from God. Today we are asked to consider how we can put these gifts at the service of the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Amen. As I was saying before the Mass, today is the World Mission Sunday, and we are all missionaries. We cannot be all in the front lines in the mission. The missionaries are doing their best to proclaim the word of God to far away places. What we have to do is to help them by our monetary contribution. So after the communion, we will pass our basket for the second collection.